Welcome to Trigger Warning Podcast, the podcast where we create a safe space for open, honest conversations about personal development and wellness, spirituality, and holistic living. Join us as we delve into topics that are often deemed taboo or triggering while we foster a community where vulnerability is celebrated and growth is nurtured. Get ready to explore the depths of mind, body, and spirit on this journey toward personal enlightenment and collective healing. So grab a drink, have a seat, and come join us. How are you feeling today?
I feel excellent, magnificent. What about yourself?
I'm feeling present.
At least you showed up.
And did, because listen, this week has been trying. And we didn't talk about it already on these past few episodes. Hey, Destiny. She's on Facebook. But we talked about this retrograding. And when I tell you this retrograde just has me in
Man,
a whole chokehold. Okay.
this is what I usually say. When people talk about retrogrades, I'll be like, for my life, I feel like retrograde being all year long. However, this retrograde, baby, I don't know what that was because intense is not the word. Intense is not the word, but it moved what it was supposed to move, so I'm grateful for
Did
it.
and did.
Definitely did. It definitely
We are
moved.
flowing, we are showing up, and listen, this is, I think this period is about like not resisting,
Oh.
because obviously resistance is what keeps us, that's what causes the most friction in our lives. But
See, we ended our retrograde this weekend at the waterfalls.
I saw
So
that video. That looks so peaceful.
was so peaceful. So we ended it, went to the waterfalls, whatever. Woo-hoo. It was needed. It was definitely needed. A lot was revealed.
Okay.
So.
Look, can you see who my husband
Nice, yeah, that. I did see who I need not to fuck with, though. Hey,
Man,
now.
I'm
Look,
gonna just be
if y'all
quiet.
see my husband, let me know.
My silence is so loud right now.
Listen.
Man. You just sometimes you can't say nothing. You just gotta.
What the old people at church say something when you can't say nothing, just wave your hand. Baby, y'all should have been waving the whole time and
Hand
that's
about to
the
fall off.
Yeah. It was beautiful though. It was
Yeah.
but retrograde other day, it ain't really bother me. I don't know, I wanna say I was already going through the phase of realizing who is my team or my squad, as you could say. And I didn't never wanna I didn't wanna recognize it. Like I didn't wanna recognize like, oh, that person's not for me. Why not
Yeah.
them?
What's your sign?
Aquarius.
Okay, oh, my twins are too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, oh, we.
We're
Well.
gonna give it about 3 more minutes before we dive into the episode.
Woo, because I want to talk about this. And you talking about, friends knowing who for you, and we talking about dimming your light type of thing. Oh, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yes, this is a good topic.
Yeah.
So before we start, I guess, if any of you have listen to the podcast thus far, we like to discuss our wins, our lessons, or something that triggered us, and something that we did for self. Wants to start with a win? My win is I signed up for school.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
So that's the win. I don't
Yeah.
know, my trigger, it was my baby birthday week, so I really ain't like let a lot get to me. Now I did have to be around some folk that everybody like I don't like being around, but no one really know trigger. I was pretty cool on it.
Okay.
My win is that I have the knowing of
everything I need is already within. Just got to tap in to access it. That's the win. Just having that knowing. That's the win. The trigger is I have a problem with people throwing dirt on my name after attacking me, and just hearing about it, it just makes me get out of my body. That's the
You
trigger.
just triggered D.
Basically,
That resonated.
it be the nerve, the audacity of people when they have done it Exactly.
to you, but the way they smear your name out on these streets to make themselves look good.
It's sick.
It's an illness by this time. It's a mental illness.
That was my next thing. I was gonna wait for you to finish your sentences, and I was gonna follow up with just what you said.
It's a mental illness.
Yeah, so that's the trigger. And
Okay.
that's it. It was only two things, right?
What did you do for yourself?
What did I do for myself? I haven't gotten to it yet because my kids are starting school, but what I plan to do for myself in the next week is to take a dance class. Take a
Yay.
dance class.
Okay.
I'm a dancer. I love dancing. I haven't done it in a while. And I'm actually not taking a class. I'm actually auditioning for a adult female group.
Come on now.
Yeah. So that's what I did for myself.
I can't wait to hear how the
Yeah.
auditions went, everything.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
gonna be good.
I'm gonna show y'all. I'm gonna let y'all see. I love it.
Congratulations in advance.
Thank you.
I'm
Thank you.
here
Thank
for
you.
it.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Are you going to share with us?
Sure, I'll share. Let's see. We'll start with a trigger first.
Okay.
A trigger for me, like a big trigger, is when people ask obvious, stupid questions. Like I always say, there's like no such thing as a stupid question, but then it, like the obvious question. Like if I'm walking out the door and I got on work clothes and somebody say, "You get ready to go to work?" Nah, bro, I'm just gonna go to the store. That's all, man. I'm just gonna go sit in my car. Or when I'm out, like I'm making myself something to eat and I'm getting ready to pick it up and bite it, and they say, "You finna eat all of that?" Nah, bro, I'm just gonna take a little bite of it. That's it. That's all. I stood here for the last 30 minutes cooking it and making all of this just to take one bite, and I'm gonna throw the rest of it away. That's like a big trigger for me, or whatnot. But yeah, that's a trigger for me. But a win, something I did for myself. I bought myself a new pair of Beats Studio earbuds. I spent some money on myself, something I haven't done in a long time.
That's
Okay.
where them beats are
Okay, okay.
A1.
Something that I actually wanted is, I don't know. It's my birthday week. It's my birthday tomorrow. So I was like, you know what? I'm
Happy
doing something.
birthday. Happy early
Happy
birthday.
birthday.
Happy early solar return, King.
Thank you. Thank you. So, but you know, that's it. You know, brothers did that. It was two,
Well,
right?
no. Okay, listen. This whole episode is about not minimizing ourselves and our wins. So we not gonna, that's it. Like, no. That's a lot. We
That
take
is,
a lot
you
from
know
these
what?
people
You
without
know
our
what?
chairs.
You know what? You know what? You're absolutely right. That is a lot because I don't really spend money on myself. You know, being a father of four and you trying your best to, you know, make sure that they straight. Sometimes you don't. As parents, I think if we all are parents here, as parents, we don't ever step back and like celebrate ourselves. Like we never take the time to just say, you know what, I'm gonna go do something for myself. I do stuff for everybody around me. I take care of everybody around me. That new pair of shoes, that vacation, that electronic, something that you want to spend $200, $300 on, go spend $200, $300 on.
You can
Especially
do
if you know your business been taken care of, your rent is paid, you got a roof over your head, you done fed everybody, you got gas in your car, your bills are straight. Go spend that money. if you want to. Go do for yourself. So yeah, that is phenomenal.
So my plan was I stepped into my final phase of letting go, and I would have to say I graduated from the letting go of what no longer serves. Yes.
Oh, that's delicious.
The trigger or lesson, being around small-minded and disrespectful people, was a big trigger for me this past weekend, which goes into what I did for self. I just took a breather and focused on the setting that I was in and embraced the peacefulness and the serenity. What I did for self was I went to the beach and totally unplanned. It was, hey, I want to take you here. Okay, you want to take me? I'll more than gladly go. Went to the beach, watched the sunset, sunrise, 3 days, ocean front, went out on the beach, had fun, and what I let go of, I gave to the ocean.
Yes,
Ooh,
and it
I
ain't never
love
coming
it.
back your way.
No, it's not.
When you talk about do it with intention, I am here for it.
Everything is intentional.
I will say for me, Larika, you silly. For me, I will say my win. Listen, I'm here today. I'm recovering from COVID, and when I tell you it had me in a whole chokehold, like, yeah. So that's my win. I'm here. I'm showing up. And for what is it? Trigger? That's a good question. My trigger, I would say this past week was people. So, kind of tied to what Kiana was saying. After having let people go that I just realized I'm no longer in alignment with, it was a trigger, but it was also a win because I was able to see my growth because people try to come back. They try to show up again and listen. I've already expressed the boundary, I've already stated that we're not in alignment. We're done, we're complete. Like, and it's okay. Like, I'm not making it, I don't have any hard feelings. We're just not here anymore, you know?
So what I'm getting is that everybody went through the whole this weekend of letting go and releasing what was no longer for them. Because baby, I literally at the waterfall, I kept zoning out for one, but like I let go of so many people. But then yesterday and Monday, baby, I think my finger must have hurt from blocking so many people from my phone. Facebook, Instagram, like, and everybody knows if you don't, the organization I'm a part of, like, they were like, you can't block your sister or brother. Who? Baby, I've been blocked, blocked, blocked. Oh, did you? I just heard my name come up in a conversation. Block. And so I get it. I get it. Because that waterfall showed me so many conversations people had about me. They ain't never think I was going to see. And I was like, yeah, this is block. Seen you in it too. The ones you'd have never thought. Got you. Bye.
Let me tell y'all something. My mama not safe for being blocked. If I feel like you crossing over boundaries and you don't know how to respect what I got going on, if you doing something to disrupt my positive vibrations and my peace, anything like that, hey man, I will quickly press that block button because we're getting too old. We really getting too old for me to be able to tell you, hey man, chill out. You crossing boundaries with me. If I have to tell you this too many, like one time too many, my mama can get blocked. And I love my mama to death. There's nothing that I won't do for Sharon Matthews. But Sharon Matthews, no. When Darian say, I don't mind, got the capacity for that today. I'll talk to you later. And she still try to push forward. All right, I'll talk to you later. And I'm hanging up the phone.
I just got to that point that I'm able to be like, oh, you crossed that boundary? I thought I already told you I didn't want that. Bye. I'm now to the point like if you call me and you just automatically start dumping, I'm hanging up the phone. Because you ain't asked me if I could handle it, did I have any type of capacity for that? You don't care about me. You
None
say
of
you
our
love me, but
favorite
you can't.
question. Do you
Man.
have the capacity?
You can't love me if you just call me dumping on me. You can't. Ain't no way.
And I used
But
to
I
be
just
like
got
that.
there.
I used to be like that until I realized that. Until I realized like that was extremely toxic.
Damn.
Because I used to dump on people, and then when it came time for somebody to dump on me, I was unavailable.
Was me. That was, you know what? It wasn't, I started becoming unavailable later, but it became irritating. And it was like, do I sound like that to other people? Like this person
Right.
constantly asking me for advice and tell her something, she go do the total opposite, and you gotta be hurt with seeing her hurt. And it's like, that's the hell I'm doing. So now I ask my friends or anybody, hey, do you have space to hold for me? That's how I say it. I ask them, do you have space to hold for me? If they say no, then you know, whatever. 9 times out of 10, when I'm asking, they'll say yes because I'm asking. I think it's the courtesy that kind of helps people be like, okay, well, let me brace myself. You know, instead of just dumping and, you know, now they don't want to be rude and tell you.
But okay, so tell me, when your friends ask you, do you got the capacity, right? Then they start talking and it's the same stuff they already talked to you about. I'd be like, yo, hey, didn't we just talk about this 2 days ago? And I already told you something, and then you come back to me with it again. I cannot deal with that. That right there, that's a trigger for me. I get triggered. Shut up. For one, I hate people repeating themselves to me. Please don't repeat yourself to me. My God. Like,
So, but why do we gotta make it a whole thing though? Like, we can change our minds. Like, if we originally said that I have the capacity, that I can hold
right.
space for you, and
Yeah.
if you find that they're repeating themselves, hey, love, I hate to interrupt your wisdom. That's what I like to say,
I hate
but
that.
I no longer have the capacity because we've discussed this.
Facts.
Like, we ain't gotta make it a whole thing, you know? Like we can give ourselves permission to change our minds. I think we just be so used to like trying not to hurt people's feelings. Even when
Yeah.
we sometimes get in the habit of like starting to enforce our boundaries and things like that, we still, especially if it's a friend, someone we deem as, you know, a friend, like sometimes it's still hard to enforce that. But
Right.
it's okay.
That's
It's
why it's good to have those conversations so that we can understand, like, you know, not take things personal. You
In 2024, can we please make it okay to say no?
oh,
Be
well,
okay. Be okay with saying no.
be
Okay,
okay
hell
with
no.
leaving certain situations, not worrying about saving your own face or what other people
Facts.
want, what people gonna
That's
think
what
about
I'm
you.
going through now, and that's why I love the topic of tonight because whoa,
Yes.
whoa,
But
whoa.
my favorite thing to tell people is, if that's the story
Whoa.
you run with, all right. Okay, if that's the story.
Not me.
But
But
I
I'm
mean, my
the only one
favorite
who
thing
said it's
is
not worth it.
to tell people, I love that for you.
Oh, baby, but every time I say that, people are like,
Oh,
you
I
so
love it. I'm gonna
shady.
use that.
They always tell me I'm shady. I'm like, you know what? I love that for you, Buki.
I mean,
All right, beloved, whatever you feel is gonna work for you. Everybody's like, do you not hear how you saying it though? I'm like, but I'm being so sincere.
yeah,
Because the
like,
old me would have been like, yo, I really don't give a damn if it works for you or not. So your best bet is to take the I love that for you.
that age old Eddie. You like it, I love it.
Yeah.
But okay, y'all,
I got one with it. Okay,
so
yeah.
we didn't already we didn't got we got comfortable. Let's dig into the episode, right? So tonight we're talking about shrinking ourselves, making ourselves smaller. I think a lot of times it tends to come from childhood trauma, whether it's our own or maybe someone close to us or someone that we see experience certain things. One of the biggest things that I can say is a lot of times it comes from some type of like emotional, like abuse or neglect. I don't know if y'all have had that, like where in some way, shape, or form, your needs, your emotions, your desires were like silenced. You were dismissed. You were ignored. Things were suppressed. So that leads to us wanting to avoid, because either like it was made that like things that we cared about were made small. So it creates this pattern of us wanting to minimize ourselves and not want to get attention in our lives because we don't want to cause problems. We don't want to, rock the boat. We want to avoid criticism in some way, shape, or form. Does that resonate for anybody?
Yeah, definitely. And most of the time that's the same for most people. But a lot of people, what I've learned, don't even know, since they suppressed it so much, they don't know what it is that caused them to be the way they are. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
like not really know where it comes from.
With me, and I had this talk with my friends, and like, as you talked about, like things that we experience in our childhood can add to that. For me, it had nothing to do with like my family or my household in my childhood. It was the other important things, like the community, the friends, the kids my age. So like for the first 9 years, I had my mother. She passed after 9. But when I said amazing, great at the unconditional love, like I had an amazing childhood. It was all about love, community, and family. I thought everybody in the world operated that way. I didn't know anything about bad things because she made sure we stuck around our family, we stuck around the church. So it was a lot of community. And in my household, I had both the men and women always tell me things like, "You're beautiful. Oh, you're smart. Oh, you can do," a lot of encouragement, talking about my many different talents. They gave me different things to practice with to see what I was good with, and having all of this encouragement and then not being afraid to go out in front of my peers and show these things off where my peers may not be that I don't know what's the word I wanted. They may not have the strength to just be like that bold. I was always like that. Not necessarily center of attention, but I'm bold. I'm a leader. I'm not fearful. And so a lot of the times, like for instance, I told you guys about the dancing. I will go out with these friends and I have to, you know how hard that is to love music and love, like this is the natural vibration in my body. I cannot control it, especially when one of my songs come on, 2099, girl, I'm just playing. But having to stand there and not be able to do anything because the people around me will be like, "Oh, bitch, you just trying to show out," or "You want somebody to see you." So when I go out, I do not dance unless I'm around a selected female. It has to be people I'm totally comfortable with, or the women who like they want to see, like, "Bitch, get out there and do your stuff." They want to see me dance. And it's like that kind of started it for me. So like when I go other places, if I see certain people have low self-esteem, a lot of things about myself I won't reveal or I won't do. Like a lot of people know me, don't even know I know how to dance. I'm an excellent dancer, but that's where it started for me. And it's kind of crazy because some people would think that it has everything to do with just like your household, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the community, because that's what it was for me. My peers were assholes.
Yeah, my peers was definitely says my parents, honey. But when everybody was like, "You're just so confident," like my dad tells people all the time, yeah, because I raise her every day, like, "Who the prettiest girl in the world? And why are you the prettiest girl in the world? And this and that." Like my dad literally wakes up every day and look in the mirror and be like, "Man, Jesus, you did that." I be like, "Bro, for real?" But it was the peers, because of course I've always been heavier. So everybody always had something to say. It was never my household. Never. Now I did have some family members not in that household who always had something to say, but it was like, for what? Like certain stuff you just ignore. But I'm with you with the peers. But now I was up until 2021. Like if I would go out, I just stayed in the corner. Like yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just be okay. But baby,
Ladies night, hold it for
2022,
you.
I'm like, man, F you. You are uncomfortable because of my size. You're uncomfortable because of my size. And I came to realize the person I used to call my best friend for 20 something years only hung out with me because she thought I was a big girl who couldn't get anyone. But the whole time, the same niggas that was in her face was in my inbox. And I was like, yo, what? They started sending me all the messages like, yo, this is what the person you called your best friend used to say about you. And I'm like, but so many people told me that that's not your friend. That's not your friend. I'm like, nah, me and her been friends since third grade.
Yeah.
Like, it's no way she really felt like that about me, baby.
I'd be surprised.
The whole time. So I get it. But now, minimize myself for you for what? And now to the point I get told, you're too vocal. Can you don't have to say everything. But yes, I do. Because what you're not gonna do is sit here in the words of one of my sisters and little bow out me and think it's okay. You're not gonna do that.
And I
You're
mean,
not gonna
usually that's
disrespect
like
me.
a projection because everything outside of us is a reflection of us, right? So a lot of times when you find yourself being triggered, or in the case that they were like, oh, you don't got to say everything that comes to your mind, that's a projection because they're silencing themselves. They're not using their throat chakra. So you're having some form of like jealousy and an uncomfortability with someone vocalizing
How
rather
they
than
feel.
internalizing. And that really has nothing to do with me. Like,
Your own insecurities have nothing to do with me. Do your
yeah.
shadow work, love. Get a
Yeah,
shadow work coach.
a lot of people, it's kind of crazy. Even myself, you know, I'm like, I'm into it. My friend does the work, but it's having the discipline to use the tools.
That's
I think
facts.
a lot of people believe and still don't believe, if that makes sense. Like, oh yeah, you know, because it sounds good, we go with the norm, but it's like your actions don't show that you truly believe that it works because we don't put it to action. And I'm gonna say we because, you know, I'm just now getting to the point where it's like, no, I have to be intentional every goddamn day. I'm so goddamn intentional. I'm making a schedule every hour. I'm gonna be intentional doing this.
Well, I
And
mean, you
excuse
laughing, but that's
me.
just, I literally just bought an acrylic board to write a schedule out, not only for my son, but for myself.
Look, now
Yeah.
she's,
Forget
girl,
about
you speaking
myself.
my language. You know I like some schedules, girl.
Girl, don't you? My God, today she gonna use a calendar. But that's good though. You have to.
Yeah, and so
Giselle
that's
on,
helping
I hope I'm
myself
saying
now.
your name right, on Facebook, she said it's time to stop being silent.
Wait,
Yeah.
someone, I said that?
No,
So
somebody
on
on Facebook,
Facebook.
because we're
Oh.
live streaming to Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So another thing that I was thinking about too, where this comes from, is from, like, of course, parents and past partnerships, right? Like, we might have had some people that were controlling or overbearing, and that might have led us to, again, shrink ourselves and make ourselves smaller because we don't want to be like, we don't want to face like some type of disapproval or, again, the criticism. And again, that just kind of reinforces the belief that I need to make myself smaller. I don't need to be seen. I don't need to be heard, right? Even that, like, yeah, kids should be seen and not heard type of thing. That was a very common thing when I was growing up. And I realized for a long time, I was silenced. Whenever I would speak up, it would either be that I was like misunderstood, and like a lot of times I had good intentions, but then for some reason it would like not turn out the way that I like planned it in my head. And I would get like I would get the disapproval. I would be kind of shunned in a sense, from like parents. And it just kind of led to the reinforcement of this belief that, you know what, don't even speak your opinion because it's not valid. It's not like you don't have anything important to say, essentially. So being silenced can lead to us silencing ourselves a lot of times. And that again is a projection of, and it shows up in our relationships, whether it's partnerships, people, even friendships. We choose partners that reflect that opposite type of energy. So if you're used to shrinking yourselves, you're probably going to pick more controlling people, more of that dominant energy, because it becomes this balancing thing energetically, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing.
For real? You've been doing that?
Yeah, so I guess that's exactly what happens, you know? Yeah. Gotta balance that out with the
So,
energies out
when you
so
did
that.
that, was that more of a trying to avoid conflict, or was that a trying to avoid like disapproval of some sort?
Both. And it comes from a place of guilt. Because I have experienced trauma. I had went out to the world as a teenager and had like the F it attitude, you know what I'm saying? And I can acknowledge that some of my actions have been selfish. So me acknowledging that, like, you know, I don't like to hurt people. I did that because I was hurt, so I want to change myself. And so with me changing myself, I felt like, oh, you got to give people the grace and you got to give them the time and you got to be forgiven because people forgave you and you put people through stuff and baby. Yeah. So it's a bit of both. It's the not wanting to do the conflict because I can be outrageous in conflict as well, whether I'm initiating it, especially if you initiate it, I'm going to be to the 10th power with it, okay? But yeah, I don't like that anymore, so the universe led me here. So we talking about this because this is what's literally going on right now in my life. I have allowed myself to shrink down to almost, I don't want to say nothing, but that's what it sometimes feel like. You know, when you're hurt, you feel disappointed or whatever. Sometimes it feels like rock bottom. I call it gum at the bottom of your shoe. It's sometimes, hi. It sometimes feels like that. And so now I have to sit here. I have to feel. I have to set the boundaries. I have to make sure that I'm more disciplined because I did not have that at first. No discipline at all. Just like more so it, because it's not balanced. Going off what I feel at the moment, knowing that my feelings, my emotions change. And they change a lot too. You know, so yeah.
I'm loving the self-awareness. And I think that's where it all starts. Sometimes we get so caught up in like, okay, I see the problem and I gotta try to fix it. But it's like sometimes it's okay to just be where we are and just start to take notice of the pattern, start to take notice of how and when and where we can show up different moving forward
Yeah, for
with the
sure.
little things. It don't have to be these huge, you know, oh, I gotta just completely end the relationship and cut off everybody. Like, that's not realistic, right? We had to go through phases in our healing journey.
And
So,
healing is always, it's not a one and done.
absolutely. Like we talk about, we heal in layers, and each layer looks different.
Wow, how many layers is it? Okay, does anybody know how many layers? Because I done been through about 20 now, baby. It's not
Listen,
skin.
it's like skin, just keep regrowing. Every time you think it's over and done, it's something else that triggers you. You're like, wait, I fixed this. But clearly, you missed a part of it. So it keeps coming back.
How many times do
Until you pass the test, I ain't lying. I can't hold you. What I'm going through right now, baby, I literally said, you know what? I ain't going through this again. I'm going to strap my boots up, take it to the chin. Learn my lesson and keep moving. And the lesson I'm learning is stop minimizing yourself to make other people look good. I can't say too much, but I have put a lot of people before me. And yeah. I'm
No,
getting hit with the
that's
whole
real.
stash left and right. I keep getting it. And it's like, girl, stop. For what? Why? My thing is, and I will ask anybody out there, why not you? Why do you minimize yourself to make other people happy? Why aren't you okay with doing it? Why you don't think you can do it, but you can boost somebody else to do it? The same energy you give
That's
other people to do something, you do it.
the question we all should ask. It kind of hurts when you ask it and you be like, dang, I've
Yeah.
been neglecting myself.
The whole time, I literally
Why?
would boost somebody up and be like, you got it. Da-da-da-da. I'm like, bro, the same way you boosting them and the same knowledge that
You sitting there crying.
you're
It's so
pouring into
beautiful.
them is the same. The knowledge that you have, why you gotta pour it into them when you could be out there giving it to the people instead of giving it to them for them to take the credit for what you taught them? Because they're not gonna tell the people, oh, well, such and such taught me da-da-da-da. They're not gonna tell you that. They're not gonna tell nobody that. They're gonna sit back, take the credit, and keep it moving. So my lesson is literally, D, what you minimizing yourself for? To get your name smeared in the dirt, because baby, my name right now has the most cow manure on it, and I'm okay with it, because I'm about to wash that shit off and show people why I go by about five different names, and
Use
they
it
got
as
to, huh?
some fertilizer to make yourself grow.
Period.
And I am watering it every day. Oh,
Because you
key.
know what, and one thing too is really just taking our power back, right? Because the shift in the perspective is like, dirt can only be on my name if I allow it. And anybody that's gonna resonate for. Like, if people want to believe whatever they hear, et cetera,
Okay.
that ain't got nothing to do with me. And if you believe it, then you're probably not for me. We're not really in alignment. And guess what?
So
If
why do we care
we
for people
clearing
when
out the waters for people that's not in alignment with us, then we're getting closer to who is in alignment with us. So it's not to say people can't say whatever they're gonna say, that they can't, like, yeah, they're gonna throw dirt, but we ain't gotta make it stick. That ish ain't gonna land. Because one thing that I think about, I was also, and of course, this is Trigger Warning Podcast, so we talk about the triggering things. Because for me, one reason why I shrunk myself was due to, like, sexual trauma. And in the sense that I did not want to be noticed, so I shrunk myself because in my head that's a way, because I'm don't want to be a victim, but that is a way to not get the attention. So I would make myself smaller and dim my light because I don't want to be seen. I don't want to have this like pain reoccur, right? And that is just a protective mechanism. And one thing that I was thinking about with all of these things of like how it all starts for us, whether we dim our light and, make others shine by dimming ourselves, et cetera, it is all a way for us to prioritize other people. All that's what all these things have in common. Whether it was from parents, whether it was from partners, whether it was from like, abuse, from our past, whether it was neglect. It is all because there is some type of belief that we're trying to avoid conflict with other people. We're trying to avoid judgment. We're trying to avoid criticism. We're trying to avoid like harm or disapproval. And all of that is based on someone else. That's not prioritizing ourselves. So when we make ourselves smaller, it usually has nothing to do with us within
Yeah.
ourselves. It's because of a projection of someone else. And once you start to truly like get to that space of like loving yourself, once you truly start to prioritize yourself, That is when, in having the self-awareness, us all being here today, this is us showing up for ourselves, having these types of conversations. That is how we change the dynamic.
For sure.
So, what are some ways that it showed up for y'all? I know for me, low self-esteem.
Definitely.
Definitely low self-esteem until like probably mid to late 20s. What are some ways that it shows up for you guys? Ooh, people
Pleasing.
pleasing. I knew we was here. Yeah, people pleasing for sure.
It's heavy on the people pleasing. Want to make sure everybody else is good, and that's it. Honestly, I would
Ooh.
make sure everybody else is okay. I will text everybody like, "Hey, how are you doing? You good? You need something?" The whole time I'm over here in the corner, ready to just rock myself off the ledge. So it's people pleasing, but that comes from feel wanting to feel. I guess you could say want to feel accepted of sort, and accepted in other ways instead of. Again, this is a trigger warning podcast, so we're gonna talk about things that's type triggering. From my sexual trauma, for years. So that's where it stems from.
Giselle on Facebook said your light isn't for everyone. And then I do not, again, pardon me, forgive me if I do not. Oh, okay. That's how I was going to pronounce it. Well, she said overgiving to be seen. And that is huge. Like, I don't know how many relationships or that I wanted to be relationships that I would. I'm like, I'm giving you wife energy. I'm overcompensating because I want you to see that I'm a good person. I want you to see like my good qualities, and I'm just doing the most, doing the most to be seen.
Yeah,
And you know, at the end of the
that
day, I wasn't even seeing myself. That's crazy.
was a good one. That
part. How it showed up in me is I'm rageful. No, I nope. Rage's been a part of me for a long while. I've become controlling. Because I don't like how people treated me, and I know I have this greatness, it's this knowing I have, but it's like when you know and then you minimize yourself, it's this conviction in my head that I hear. And so it has me overprotecting and controlling of everything because I don't want to continue to allow people to mess that up for me. So I have to control everything. And I've gone even overboard to the point where I got to doing that stuff with my kids over the smallest things because I'm trying to be, just super, head on swivel, making sure they are protected and all these different types of things, making sure that this man is not hurting me in a relationship, making sure my family is not taking advantage of me. And some of those things, some of those ways I displayed were very much so unnecessary. Very much so unnecessary, but I had no choice in my head, so I thought, but to be controlling because that's the only way that I can protect myself. Because these streets is kind of rough out
It's
here.
ghetto out here.
It's very ghetto. But I mean, mine, I wouldn't. No, I ain't controlling, but I am very protective of my son. Like, it's.
I used to be.
Girl, no, I'm very, like, we went to the waterfall. Nate even. She told me, she said it. Like, we were gone, but the whole time, I'm like, he's with his dad, so I knew nothing was happening. But it's like, I'm like, what is he doing? Is he all right? Is he need anything? Like, I normally will not let him out my eyesight. Now, I mean, he goes with some people, whatever, but even then, I'm still worried at times. Like, I wonder what he's doing. Is he okay? Is he safe? And the only reason that shows up in me is because the people who did the sexual trauma to me were the people that were supposed to protect me. So it's like, deep down inside, like the people he's with is never gonna do nothing to him, nothing at all. But then it's like the little trauma you have still on the inside, you're just like, well, that person wasn't supposed to do it to me, and they did. So it still shows up, even when you have done the work, the healing to you to get over it, let's say, or work through it, it's always gonna have a way of showing back up. So that's where it comes. How many times do I gotta keep going through this? However many times you need it. That's it.
For me as a male, it was accepted. So it was accepted. So so I was sexually assaulted in the Navy. I was in the military. The way it showed up, it actually didn't really start to resonate with me until I got in my 30s. This happened when I was 19. And see, during that time, I didn't realize that my behavior was like, I caught it being a very high-end, low-end person. So, like, I was very like hypersexual because I wanted to prove to myself like, yo, I'm a man. I'm like, I ain't gay. I don't like dudes. Like, what the hell? Like, how did I let that happen to me? Like, damn, all I had was one drink. So I was like between like 19 and like 23. Like, I was on it. Like, I have moments where I was like on it. Like, I was having sex with any woman that moved, any woman that was there. And then I crash out. I wouldn't even be interested in it. And then finally, like one day I like completely like raged out. Like we were standing and we were standing, we was doing something simple. I think it was at Mustard. And it was this white boy. Yeah, said something to me. And he had called me a faggot. He's like, yeah, faggot. I said, what? And I didn't realize it until one of my homeboys told me. They were like, Darian, you completely blacked out. You almost threw this man off the boat. Like, you were damn near hanging him over the side of the ship, trying to throw him off the ship. And I was like, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. He was like, yes, you were, bro. It took like eight people to pull you down. It took like eight people to pull you back. And so when I got in my 30s and I started to, somebody had asked me to go to therapy one day because it was actually my ex-wife. My ex-wife asked me to go to therapy. And she was like, yo, you like zone out. You essentially like I would isolate myself. And the way I would isolate myself, I would like lock into my phone or I would like lock into a video game, or I would go lock into the gym. I'd be in the gym like 3 or 4 hours trying to escape. She's like, it's like you're trying to escape. And so when I finally, started doing the work in therapy and having to unlock all of that, it was like accepting that it happened to me. Like, it was hard. Like, I'm bad. Like, even to this day at 37, it's like still one of the hardest things to believe that. Cause I wasn't, I asked myself, like I go back on that night a lot in my head. I'm like, damn, like what was I doing? Like who was I talking to? Like did I put my drink down? Like I questioned myself a lot because it's a stigma around sexual assault. It doesn't supposed to happen to a man. Well, that's what society says. Oh man, if it happened to a dude, you probably let it happen. And I find myself like overprotecting my boy. You know what I'm saying? Like my girl, I protect my children, but I find myself like overprotecting my boy. If I see my boy hanging out with like too many white boys, I get kind of like on edge because the people that did it to me were four white boys that I had to like basically put my life in their hands. So imagine being sexually assaulted by these guys and then turn around and say, I go to work third. And they higher ranking than you. And there's nothing you can say because you're the lower junior guy. You tell somebody, they're going to call you a liar.
Yeah.
So I had, it was a lot. Like, it was hard. Like, it was hard. And they would come to me, you ain't going to snitch, you ain't going to say nothing. It was just a ritual, just a little rite of passage. They said, we just want to see how tough you were. Yeah, nah, you good, man. And I buried it for like so long to the point where it was a ticking time bomb. Like I became a ticking time bomb for a long time. When I finally said, okay, I'm gonna do the work. Man, them first two, three therapy sessions,
they was hard.
They was hard. Like I walked out. Like I couldn't do it. It was hard. It was very hard. Like to this day, it's still accepting it has become easier, but it's just like, damn, dude. So for me, it was accepted.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Well, thank you.
Larika commented already saying she's sorry that happened and thanks for being brave enough to share. And I second that.
I third that. It's a lot of men who are sexually assaulted, and they never say anything. And a lot of them don't know that's why they're hypersexual at all.
And, like, seriously, because, and then, like, what people don't know hypersexuality comes in so many different forms. Like,
yes.
Part of my therapy that was like researching hypersexuality and talking to other men and like hearing their stories. Like one dude said, one guy, you know, told me a story where he was addicted to going to the strip club. He was in the strip club to the point where he was losing his job. He lost his job. He would leave work and go to the strip club and stay there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, spending all his money. And he just did not understand why until he finally faced the fact when he was molested as a child.
Yeah, that's a lot of men in anger. My brother, he passed away 3 years. He suffered from severe depression. He would talk on Facebook all the time saying how he wanted to just die and maybe he, you know, he wished my mom come and get him because she was deceased too when he was younger. He got molested by a male and a female in our family. And he actually got older and like I think maybe like around 10, and that person started doing it again. And, you know, he shared with me, like, it got to the point where it kind of became voluntarily because that man was doing it to him so much. And it made him himself, you know, with thinking what happened to him, question his sexuality. And it made him just angry at the world, angry at himself. And he didn't really know how to deal with that. And being his sister, being somebody that loves him and see him, you know, struggle with that and not being able to tell somebody, hey, you know, that happened to me when I was younger because of the, like you said, the stigma that's around even discussing that happening to men. And if it does happen to them, then they're not a man. It just changes them, which it does change a person emotionally, but it doesn't mean anything of what these other people are saying. So I do notice that a lot of men that feel comfortable with confiding in me about it, like they deal with a lot of anger issues, or they may deal with a lot of just being isolated a lot, like not wanting to have any connections with any type of person, male or female, family, whatever.
Yep. And that spills over into relationships. That spills over into wanting to be with a person, like allowing a person to you letting a person in. Like it took a detriment. It kind of took a detriment on my marriage. Like I allowed my anger and I allowed, you know, me not doing the work that I was supposed to do. It kind of played a part in, you know, my marriage fit. And you know, we as men, we don't realize, like, damn, like, we really not in tune with our emotions like we supposed to. We don't go and face this stuff like we supposed to. And when we finally face it, it's too late. You know, people have been hurt by our words. we push people away, you know. And I told myself, I said, I can't do that no more. I can't, you know, the next person I want to be with, shout out to, but the next person I want to be with, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna hurt that person with me not doing the work for myself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I encourage all dudes, whatever trauma you're going through, man, go see somebody about it. Go sit down and talk to somebody about it. Go work that stuff out, bro. Go work it out. Learn to live.
That's learn to live cool angry
that
free.
That you are, you know, wanting to be more vocal about it, because we know the stigma in the military, especially, and in general in society, as you talked about. And Candace said, this goes back to not allowing your children around anyone. It's a vicious cycle.
Thanks.
And that's one thing, too, is like another subtle way that I realized it shows up for me, or has showed up for me, being more intentional with my words, is I realized that I would make myself small with, like, trying, again, kids should be seen and not heard. With my daughter, who's 15 now, it was even, like, with stuff, like, I didn't buy her toys that would make a lot of noise. Because I just didn't want, I didn't want her to, like, be too much or, you know, cause any type of, like, disruption with people. And I know that sounds really silly, but I didn't realize until I had my son how much that really, like, how much that was ingrained in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like a moment where he was getting loud, and I started noticing, like, anxiety rising in my body. I started noticing, like, I'm like, and we're at home. Like, this was just at home. And I was like, oh, goodness, like, I don't want, like, the neighbors or anyone to, like, notice or, like, cause offense or anything like that. And it just, like, hit me, and I was like, he's a kid. Like, there's, you know, he makes noise. He plays. He's, like, he's free, and he's in a safe space to do that. And I didn't realize until then that it's all connected. I didn't want my daughter to make noise because I was basically repeating the cycle, right, of not being too much, not wanting to cause any type of, like, issue with anyone else. And here I am doing the same thing that I, like, you know, that was done to me. And it wasn't intentional, but I think, like, that's important to say because it shows up in sometimes very subtle ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with our kids, like, we may try to, like, silence them in some way, shape, or form. And it may not be with toys or anything, but I was just thinking, like, yeah, that's another big way. Along with even, like, work opportunities, business opportunities. I didn't have people reached out about certain things, and because I was shrinking myself, you guys, like, pass up on some opportunities. Because, again, you don't want to be seen.
Right,
right. Yeah, what?
My show up in multiple different ways. Like, I don't like being in big crowds. My fear of I don't like being around a whole bunch of people because I don't know what's going to happen. So if I'm somewhere, it has to be more than one way out. If you take me somewhere and it's only one way I can get out, I'm leaving automatically. I don't care how much I paid. I'm going, because you're not going to get me trapped in a room where I can't leave. Two, I hate people holding my hand. Do not hold my hand. And the reason I say it is because you know how people grip your hand and they grip it really tight? It goes back to my trauma. And it's like, yo, let me go. Like, stop. And even people hugging me, like, certain people can hug me and I'm like, okay, I'm safe with them. I can say this. Candace is on the call. She can hug me. I'm like, okay, cool. I can hug her. I'm not going to freak out. Other people hug me. I'm like, I'm about to give you a church hug. Like, don't put both your arms around me because I don't know what you're going to do. And that's how it shows up for me. And at times I'm like, yo, you can't be like that though. You can't do everybody the same way because everybody's not out to get you or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, I'm working through it, but it still shows up. Like, Why?
But
Why
then
would
that's
you
like a
do
balancing thing too, right? Because you got to trust your intuition. And I
that?
think
No,
we
I feel
talked about it,
like the
right? With the
door.
kids, like how I know back in like parents and grandparents generations, it was like, oh, you're not going to give your uncle a hug or, something like that. And listen,
Right.
I will not force any in any way, shape, or form. If
Nope.
my kid, I don't care if it's my son and he's one, if he don't want to come to you, if he don't want to hug you, listen, kids is the purest energies out here, okay? They are not tainted and jaded by our experiences and our traumas and things like that. So if my kids decide they don't want to hug you today, even if it's me, I'm going to allow that. Like you don't have to. People think because you're a kid that you ain't got to have boundaries.
Lies.
No, that is not what we're doing. That's not how we're showing up because that's just training them to think like I have to make
You have
myself
to.
uncomfortable to make this other person comfortable. And again, we're prioritizing the other person and we're not doing that.
That's
So
off
I'm
limits.
not safe in my own body. It's not okay for me to feel safe, for me to say like, "Hey, I don't want to hug this person," or "Hey, I'm just feeling the energy is off."
My
I said
son will scream.
that down real quick. I will shut that down real quick. Do not reach for my kids if they don't wanna, if they don't feel like being touched, especially my 13 year old daughter, because she's going through stages of becoming a
I
woman
know.
now. Dog. And to add to that's my little girlfriend, that's my little boyfriend. Nah, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me my skin crawl. He's so. If you was older, if he was what? He's a kid.
And
Ain't
he
no
ain't.
way he's gonna grow up to be 55
Fact.
by tomorrow. So no. No more.
I started reading out the address here in Chicago. She said, "What's that?" I said, "That's the police station. That's where the fuck you gonna be going if you try to play with my son, because I don't play that." She started laughing. Baby, we laughing, but I am so serious. That's the address for the
Oh.
police station. Your people got to pick you up, because that's where you're going. I may be going with you too, because
Definitely.
but not for the same reason you
It's just you have to
Oh,
have a
unfortunate.
value to people. I never force my son on anyone. My baby, if he like you, he gonna put his little arms out. If he don't like you, I'm not gonna lie. Bro gonna be like, if you make him go, he's like, I'm like, yo, what are you hollering for? I was literally around across the room. I heard him hollering. I was like, who is he
No.
about?
Yeah, you have to watch. You have to really like pay attention. Like, 'cause sometimes it's just that, they have to warm up. And some people, the energy is really bad. Like, I remember one day, one of my twins, one of my friends had like her little guy friend over at the party. We didn't even know he stayed. And I personally don't like his character. And he walked up, and someone else was holding my baby, and he said, "Hey," he didn't touch her or anything. She starts screaming to the top of her lungs like her skin was on fire, okay? And he just clean walked off. And all of the women there, we looked at each other. They said, "Has she ever done that?" I said, "Absolutely not." He does have like a evil like energy. So I kind of like watch my girls, all of my kids, when they are around certain people, when they're reacting a certain way, because it's like some people they to this day still won't mess with. And I'm like, yeah, something. Because it's day four and they still don't like you. You can offer them candy, they don't care, they won't come to you. Something is not right.
They
Pay attention.
the kids are the
Talk.
purest spirits, So like, if anything, they're sometimes a better compass than we ourselves, because sometimes that, even though we're doing the healing work, like the doing the shadow work and the personal development, sometimes we still look for validation. Sometimes we still seek approval. Sometimes we still try to avoid conflict. Them kids don't care. They don't care. They don't want it. They don't want it. So sometimes it's important for us to really, just pay attention to the kids. I think that's what older generations tend to not do so much. Again, the silencing, thinking that kids don't have value as much as adults.
Pay attention to my dog.
That too. That too.
Queen don't Queen. She's a Rottweiler. She back in Texas with my kids. But when Queen is a very like calm. chill ass Rottweiler. She'll sit up on the couch, or she'll sit over there by her cage. If somebody would had came in the house, anything like that, she'll walk up, she'll kind of sniffle, or she'll kind of sit there and just look at them. If they were good characters, she'll, you know, wag her tail, want to play, all of that. If Queen didn't fool with you, yeah, you got to go, cause she's normally a very friendly dog. If she got the growling and barking at you, oh yeah, nah, you ain't right. Something in your spirit ain't right. She don't never do that to nobody. So I get to listen to my dog. My dog is my dog
yes,
barking at you.
Okay.
Yeah, nah. They sense something that I don't. They see something that I don't see.
It feel like dog animals in general can like see through. Like they see stuff. I ain't lying.
Oh yeah.
My dog's name is Queen too. She is American Bulldog. And I don't know, Shorty kinda weird though, so I don't know. She's kinda weird.
So we talked about like where it stems from and how it shows up for us currently or even in the past. How would you guys say we like to talk about solutions? How would you guys say, what's helped you to shift this narrative, to start to show up, to change that within yourself?
Therapy.
I go to support groups. Like I will help other dudes. Like if I, again, you know, other veterans, other military men that have gone through this and gone through this in silence. You know what I'm saying? I'll leave a group or I'll, you know, talk, hear your story, help you understand. And like my therapist tell me, it's just your new norm. It doesn't define who you are. You don't have to wear it like a badge of honor. It's just something that's a part of your story. That's all it is, a chapter in your life.
Oh,
I like that. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had something stuck in my throat. But the final thing I'm going to say, then I got to go eat. Come on. It's just a part of when they write the story of Darian or Kalisha or anybody else, when they write your story, it's just chapter five. The chapter is ended, and now we're going to write a new chapter. And that's it.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
That's huge. I think the biggest thing that a lot of people don't realize is that they identify with these things. They give it more meaning than it has to be. Rather than being able to rewrite their story, to be able to empower themselves and to, like you, you know, being able to vocalize and speak up for other men that have been through similar situations, they identify with it and then they're stuck in that like whole victim mindset, which is that's a powerless state. And that's actually a big part of what, with my group coaching program that's launching in a few months, that's a big thing that we go through is stop identifying with these things, whether it's our trauma or our circumstances or our past decisions. And all of it's tied together because, again, it's going to show up in our work. It's going to show up with our kids. Going to show up in our relationships, whether they're friendships or romantic. It's going to show up because it's a pattern and it's going to be repeated until we become more self-aware, until we do the work to actually heal those things.
That's real.
Anyone else?
Yep, evolve or repeat is what they call it. Yeah, but for me, what sparked it for me, trigger warning. And it's a trigger warning for me because anything about my kids is that my daughter had made a statement that she wanted to live with her grandmother. Reason being is because, you know, we've been struggling, and she, you know, I have five children, and she, you know, she's used to, and all of us, I ain't gonna lie, I feel her. I felt the pain too. We used to live in a certain type of way, you know, we had more money, two parent home. It was just, you know, a little better financially. My kids basically got everything that they wanted. They were, you know, extremely spoiled. On top of the fact she had a grandmother and her father's side of the family that, you know, also supports her. And she also made the comment that our house is not homey, meaning it doesn't feel like a family to her, she said. Everybody is kind of just like isolated off into their own room because we've been through stuff. And it's like, you know, just at the end of the day, no matter what I go through, even if in the relationship, this man did this to me and it caused me this pain and this trauma, and that trauma had me down and depressed. At the end of the day, I'm still responsible for myself. Because when I close my eyes, nobody else exists but whoever my mind sees when I sleep. I am the, you know, I'm here by myself. So it's like hearing her say that, it's like, girl, you got to put a little pep in the step when it comes to doing that work. Got to move a little faster. Not necessarily faster, but like faster with like my consistency, like time. And so that's why I'm like, okay, I'm showing up because like I don't want the cycle to repeat, you know, because, you know, they're going through the traumatic experience because their mother is creating that. They can't take care of themselves, and they didn't bring themselves into this world. So just having that reality, hearing my daughter just say that, and I know that too, kind of just woke me the fuck up, to be honest.
Thank you for sharing.
For me, mine would have been shadow work and finding my tribe of people that actually seen the phoenix in the ashes. Those that like spoke life into who I was whenever I couldn't see myself. They seen me for what I really was, not behind the mask or the eggshells that I was walking on. Those people definitely helped a whole lot. The other part that kind of like has helped with me is showing other people how to get their own voice and to break from their own silence. One of the people that I had to help find their voice, and I'm still trying to do, is my mother. You know, it goes back to past, you know, it was like, you know, you're seen, not hear, now you're not heard from. And she, you know, kind of been one of those people to where it's like, I'm just gonna stay quiet. I'm just gonna kind of let it happen, whatever happens. And, you know, it's trickled down, you know, you practice what you see. And there's been times to where that people pleasing would come in to where, okay, I need to stay quiet. I don't need to cause any conflict or anything like that. But, you know, now having grandkids and they're older grandkids, I'm like, no, find your voice. If you don't like something that's going on, speak it. However, whoever it is, it does not matter. You know, don't just stay around and deal with whatever to the point that you're not only walking on eggshells, you keep walking on these eggshells because they are dust. That is a very uncomfortable position to be in. And I didn't want that cycle to continue for anybody that is around me, friends, family, children, grandchildren. It could be a complete stranger. I've noticed that, you know, I'll advocate for a perfect stranger that's out in public somewhere. If I feel like they're getting done wrong, I'm the first to, hey, no, we can't do this. What do I need to do to help you? Do I need to take you somewhere? Do we need to walk away? Whatever it may be. So those were the kind of the things that have helped me. And also journaling has helped to where I can look back to see the growth from where I was to where I am now.
Love it. Thank you for sharing. I know the community piece is so huge. I feel like that's the time that a lot of people are in. Everybody is looking for their tribe. And then one thing too, and I think me and you D talked about this on our most recent podcast, which has not been aired yet, but we talked about the tribe sometimes changing as we grow and as we heal. So sometimes that letting go, it's not a, we're not saying the people are bad. We're not saying, there's hard feelings. It's just, we're just flowing. We're still moving. And the community thing for me has been huge because not only I think it helps to, because I start speaking up, like you said, Kiana, is for other people, right? Like when you notice, I like to hype other people up, and I've learned to hype myself up too, but it's in the little things. So hyping someone up when I see them making themselves small, like at the beginning of this podcast episode when Darian had was like, well, that's it. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Like it's even in little stuff like that, because as I bring it in, to the conscious out of the subconscious, and I bring it into awareness, it's also reinforcing it for me too. So as I notice it for other people, I'm noticing it for myself. And I think that's one way that has, as little baby steps, but it has grown to be a very monumental thing in my life, to start noticing those patterns of where I have made myself smaller, where I make little comments like that, where it could be somebody saying like, oh, you're so beautiful, and me initially just, oh, thank you, you're so handsome too, or you're beautiful too. No, just take the compliment, sis. Like, just accept it. We ain't gotta reciprocate. We ain't gotta, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's even little stuff like that with how we show up.
Yeah, I'm guilty for saying that. If somebody's like, "Oh, you're so pretty," I'm like, "You are too," and everybody's like, "Bro, take your compliment and keep it moving." I'm like,
Absolutely. We'd be
"I don't
so
know how to do
uncomfortable to just receive.
right? Like, I can't just take that and not say something back."
Yeah, and now and I had to practice that when I tell you it was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable, but baby steps are still progress. So just the growing in awareness and then gradually like exposing myself with being seen too. Like, listen, do you already know? Before we started this, we both like I talked about a podcast for years. Okay, years. And here I am. Here we are on camera, showing up, using our voice, allowing our faces to be seen, being vulnerable.
My
Like
God.
we got, the episodes, the stuff we've talked about. We even cried on a podcast episode, y'all. Like, listen.
Don't
Don't
be
roll
too
your
quick.
eyes.
Don't be too quick to watch it. Y'all might not
We are
ever see
showing
me like that
up.
again.
So it's even doing little things like this, which is it's not even little, because there we go again with minimizing.
Right.
Caught myself. But starting this podcast was huge.
Definitely.
And then just showing ourselves grace during the journey. I think that's the biggest thing, is we be judging ourselves. Like, it's okay. We gonna make mistakes. And that's the beautiful part about this. The
Every time.
destination is the journey. Whoever's baby that was, period.
Mine, clearly.
He felt me.
Yes.
So before we end, one, I want to thank everyone for sharing, because we talked about a good amount. We got very vulnerable tonight. But also, we need to end on a high note. So I need we this is we taking up space right now. So everyone that is willing, I would like for them to, if you're able to come on camera, but if not, it's okay to just share. I need you to hype yourselves up. I want you to celebrate either who you are, so you can share if you got a business. Even if you don't have a business, if you're just a parent, or if you're not just, but if you're a parent, or even just who you are as an individual, hype yourself up, celebrate a win. We are taking up space. So who's first?
I'm gonna go first real quick because I'm on a schedule with the little boy. That's why he came in. He like, girl, it's time for me to go to bed. Okay, D system, your favorite hood rat light worker. I am the owner of Ashe Aesthetics and Wellness. I'm also a Reiki practitioner. I don't know why this is so hard for me to say. I'm taking clients, not too much. My website will be linked below and on our podcast, but I mean, and I'm about to be a phlebotomist, so I will be able to do IVs very soon under the providers. But if y'all need me, I'm always here. Kiki will post all the information. I love y'all. Thank y'all for showing up. It means a lot to me to see so many different people that I know on here, miles and miles away, and even near, because y'all know. So I showed up. I'm on camera. I'm talking. People are hearing my story now, and it's something I would never done before. So I love y'all. Again, I'm sorry, but I got to get the little man to bed.
Yeah, Candace says she's driving, playing mommy Uber.
Well, I'm about to cry. Period. You are a freaking survivor, and I fucking love you for
Yeah,
that. Okay,
she's a
I'm
breast
sorry.
cancer survivor. Period. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love it. Thank you, Candace.
Hey y'all, I am Larika. I am the owner of Wealthy Spirits LLC, Holistic Care Company. I am the mother of five precious souls, and it's so much that I can say, but baby, it's time for me to go and lay down. I'm hyping myself up because I'm excited. I know that what's in store for me next after this storm is going to be so beautiful. It's always the rain and then it's the beautiful flowers. So I'm ready to receive my flowers, and I thank you guys for listening and receiving me tonight. I thank you guys for sharing. And Kiki, I thank you for holding space as usual, sis. I love what you're doing here. So, peace, love, and light to everybody. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Thank you.
Hello, hello. I am Kiana, owner of Mystic Nova, mind, body, and soul. Reiki Master, Crystal Reiki, and mediumship for ancestor readings and personal readings. Also, owner of Aspirus Financial Insurance and Taxes to serve all of your financial needs. I am a mom of two and the Gigi of three fabulous heartbeats. And, my win is just, and my celebration is, I'm just embracing the journey that's ahead. The phoenix has come from the ashes. So, I'm just going to spread my wings and let the flames carry me on and embrace other people along the way. And I thank you for giving this opportunity to us. As always, thank you, Queen.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you. So, my name is Kalisha Lachey, Kiki to some. I am the founder of Passage to Equilibrium, and I am a shadow work coach helping people to break their self-limiting beliefs in these generational patterns so that they can show up as their more authentic selves and integrate all the parts of themselves that they have previously suppressed and hidden. So, that is me. If you were to ask who I am, I would just say that I am flowing. I am flowing. And yes, I'm so grateful for everyone that showed up to this Zoom call for this podcast and on Facebook too, for those of you guys who are watching and have commented. Truly, truly grateful. Me and Dee, as she mentioned. This has been a journey for us, and it has been very healing. Next month, we will be doing the same thing, and we will be posting it on Facebook. So look out for that, and I hope to see you guys soon. And if Dee was here, I would say, as we always end our podcast with, is to remember y'all to stay triggered. Because when we're triggered, that is opportunities for us to grow, to heal, to develop, and to break the cycles, break the patterns. So until next time, y'all, I pray that everyone has a great night, and I will see y'all soon.